Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Winning isn't everything. The only thing.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We've got who's going to win it all. I'm taking Florida.
Condon secures it, and Florida found a way.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Florida Gators are the national champions once again.
We clearly have the best team in America. We got the basketball program back where it belongs.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, Chargers cornerback Tarheeb Still, actor Marilyn Ricecup, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, we got a guest list that's all over the map, but we're right here on the Rich Eisen Show studio as always in Los Angeles, California, live on the Roku Sports Channel, live on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, Odyssey. We appreciate everybody listening to us or watching us, however you have taken this program. Maybe do it through our podcasts. Through the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. We appreciate that. Overreaction Mondays there for you to check out. We recorded it yesterday. Same thing with No Contest Wrestling. Boom. The latest from O'Shea and TJ is ready for you to take in, either by listening to it or through our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, what up, man? I'm good. How are you?
It's Masters Week. I know that makes you very happy.
Oh, buddy. I'm so happy. It's going to be great.
Until you wrongly cape for Rory McIlroy again.
Well, stay tuned for later this hour.
Okay, very good. We'll have that. I don't root against him. I root for him.
I know. I'm going to have some great fits later in the week, too. I'm taking it up a notch.
Okay, very good. Good to see you over there, DJ Mike.
Good morning,
D is in D's nuts. Mike Del Tufo is in the spot.
Hey.
TJ Jefferson, you got a Mets cap? What's going on?
Just, I find it amazing and wild, man, that ever since Juan Soto became a New York Met, they haven't lost a game in the city of New York. And it's just like,
well, it's a Mets town.
It's like Luther Vandross. Right, it's so amazing.
It's a Mets town.
Man.
I mean, why does it surprise you if it's a Mets town?
I guess it's really not surprising now that I think about it. But yeah. 4-0.
All right, very good. 4-0.
Our teams are so good, by the way. All of our. Not you, Mike. Our teams are very good, which is going to be fun.
Dodgers are great.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be fine. We'll still win the World Series.
Is he saying we?
We start this show with a tournament review presented by TurboTax. The tournament is in the books for the men. The women, as we know, UConn cut down the nets, and a school that is used to going back to back like the UConn men just did, Florida is back on top of the college basketball world once again. The Florida Gators took care of business last night against the Houston Cougars, and my two cents of this game was a defensive battle that I guess the way that both of these teams could bring it all tournament long, all season long, shouldn't be a surprise. But 128 total points, and that is not something that I put in the tiebreaker mode a few weeks ago.
Definitely not.
for our pool in which I did think Florida was the best team in the country, and sure enough, they took care of business last night in a game in which they led Houston by 1 minute of time on the clock. A 40-minute game, and Houston led it for 39 aggregate minutes of it. Now I'm rounding for effect, but that's it. And you got to give it up to the Florida Gators, who at one point in the early part of the second half, had the refs call one offensive foul, an illegal pick on them after another, and Houston took those turnovers and turned them into points. And 13, and the Florida Gators fell down by 12 points. And just slowly but surely kept chipping away at it. And the guy that we're showing on our screen right here, the most outstanding player of the Final Four, Walter Clayton Jr. of the Florida Gators, did not lead the Florida Gators in points last night. That was Will Richard who did that. And it was Richard's three-point shooting of the first half that kept Florida in this contest. Because Florida could not do a darn thing on offense other than Will Richard. Trailing by three at the half, falling down by 12. But this kid, Clayton Jr., in a game in which he was held scoreless in the first half and for several minutes of the second half, he could have gone in the tank, and he did not. When shooters can't shoot, like get a shot off, and when they're being mauled like he was by the Houston Cougars, and I'm not saying that he was being fouled, he was just being harassed and hounded. And for him to come up with an 11.7 assist effort was remarkable enough, but it was Walter Clayton Jr. who, with the game on the line, and Houston having one final possession to tie, if not maybe toss in a three for the win, he's the one who created a monster defensive sequence for Florida, with Houston trying to find a breathing room atop the three-point arc and Emmanuel Sharpe winding up the ball. And I don't recall, guys, have you ever seen a game end like this?
No,
and I don't,
man,
I'm not trolling on you, TJ. Sleepy Floyd throwing the ball away, right?
That was
one of those final game scenarios.
That was Larry Brown, though, who threw the ball.
Pardon me. That's right.
The it's a James
end,
Worthy.
Yeah. Right, the end of the Georgetown loss.
Yeah. He threw it to Worthy.
Is truly one of the most shocking end scenarios of a tournament that I can recall. And this one comes close. I mean, it was a turnover where I just don't know how they didn't get a shot off at the end of this game. Sharp jumps in the air.
And why was that the shot? Like, you're only down two at that point.
Well, we'll hear from Kelvin Sampson in a moment, the coach of Houston, because that wasn't supposed to be the shot. But Sharp goes up in the air, and it was one of those shocking things. Like, oh, my God, he can't touch the basketball again. Because if he does, it's a turnover. Because he gave himself up by jumping in the air. My thought was, in the air, if he realized I'm not getting the shot off, should he have, like, dribbled it from a foot up in the air? Could he have done that?
I think that's still a violation.
If you jump in the air and you're still dribbling it down, you're not stopping your...
My thought was...
I guess if you leave your feet, it makes it look like you're shooting. Yeah. And you are shooting. You're in the act of shooting.
My thought was, again, tough to process that in real time because you're kind of in panic mode at that point. Grab the ball. Take the violation. That gives you time left to foul and extend this game. By kind of doing the box out, hey, teammate, come get it, you're just wasting time. And that ultimately ended up concluding the game. Just tough, heartbreaking. You don't want to see that. You don't want to see the game end like that. Yeah, it was such a hard-fought battle.
Clearly, I wasn't thinking clearly if I'm sitting here thinking he could have dribbled the ball up in the air. And the kid didn't think clearly.
Yeah.
And that's just the way Houston loses. And this is Kelvin Sampson after the game describing what this was supposed to have been for them.
We have a set where it's a staggered gate. And we thought if we could get Emmanuel to shot fake and get downhill, I have to look back at the film. And I don't know if the ball slipped out of his hands or Clayton has his back, yeah. They probably should have shot faked that. But, you know, at the end of the day, they scored 65. We scored 63. They struggled scoring on us, and we struggle scoring on them. That's what. When it gets down to the two best teams left, it's not going to be easy for either team.
I mean, this is a tough one for Houston to swallow, man. So he was supposed to shoot fake it and go in the lane because they are only down two.
Right.
Get to the paint, maybe you go to the free throw line, you tie it up.
Yeah, and a weird case of irony, too. Like Florida did to Houston what Houston did to Duke in a weird way.
Which is come back.
Yeah, this game looked like it was going to be a blowout. They were up, 12 at one point, and it was like, man, Houston's got this on lock.
Right.
And this Duke game felt the exact same way.
Yeah, in the same way on the Cooper flag over the bat call that led to two free throws by Houston, and they took the lead. It was Houston's first lead since 6-5.
Right.
And then when Florida took the lead late last night, it was their first lead since 8-6.
Man.
And so you're right. It is kind of a flipping of the script. And just for Houston, man. I mean, hey, kids out there, this is the team that lost to Jim Valvano's NC State team on the last second shot. Or last second putback of an air ball.
Right. Air ball. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they made it back to the national finals, to the championship game the next year, and then got beaten by TJ's Georgetown Hoyas.
And they hadn't made it back
to the national final until last night.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I said Larry Brown for some reason. It was Freddie Brown, not Larry.
All good.
Yeah.
All good. And then as for Florida, I mean, that's what you can do in this day and age. The Gators got bounced in the first round last year, losing to Colorado 102-100, like an actual NBA score.
Yeah.
Right? And so they decided to portal it up and get some guys who are tall and long and play some serious defense. And then you got a guy in Clayton Jr. who is just as good as they come in terms of making shots and making them late and not going in the tank like you could have last night. And this was the most outstanding player of the Final Four on cutting down the nets around his neck.
Yeah, for sure. I seen a lot going on. Coach had said we felt like he was going to try to get some for either Cryer or Roberts, and Sharp kind of creeped down to the baseline. I seen a back screen, so I'm yelling back screen at Doe. And then Sharp ended up slipping it. They tried to set like a little elevator screen, so just went out there. You know, we work on it in practice, kind of closing out, jumping to the side so you don't foul the shooter. So he kind of pump fake, threw the ball down, ended up being a good play. Doe got on it. We won the game, man. And the feeling just surreal. So it's a crazy feeling, man. I honestly can't even explain it, but it feels good, though.
Todd Golden coming from the University of San Francisco a couple of years ago now has the Florida Gators national champions for the third time.
And a run that kid's been on. Look, when you've done something that the only other player who have done it is Larry Bird, like, you've had yourself a fantastic tournament and definitely boosted your draft stock, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah. And, now the conversation is the Florida sports program the greatest sports program there is, because there's the only one with three national championships in football and basketball. That's it.
Whew.
Mm.
Not even the vaunted The Ohio State could say that.
I love those type of convos.
You want to have it?
Sure.
The best sports program ever?
Ever?
Well, I mean,
look, you got to put them in a conversation right near the top because of what Rich just said.
We're just talking football, basketball.
Sure. Obviously, those are the ones that get the most attention.
Yeah, we're not going to talk the Olympic sports, but yeah, football, basketball.
Right, because, I mean, obviously, you want to talk basketball, you've got UConn, men and women. I mean, Gino Auriemma with his 12th national championship, and Dan Hurley following up.
UCLA men, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then there's no football with UConn.
Duke men. No football with Duke.
There's no football with Duke.
No football with them.
You know, the Ohio State, every Ohio State fan that I know talks about how it's a football school. And then when their basketball program does well, suddenly they're the greatest they're the greatest sports program that's ever been created. You know, obviously I'm biased when it comes to Michigan, but the footage of Glenn Rice and Ramil Robinson, with all due respect to my Seton Hall friend over there, that gets grainier with each passing year, So, bottom line, that's your conversation. What do you want to say?
I don't know.
So, I mean, how many programs have won three in hoops and three in football? There's only one. Uh-huh. It's called the University of Florida.
Man, that's pretty good.
Sent the greatest runner or the most prolific runner in the history of the National Football League to the next level.
That's true. That's a fact.
That's true.
Yeah, man.
Trust me. This one hurts me to be talking about.
I'm not a Florida fan, and I can't think of. Yeah.
This one hurts for me to talk about. Because, you know, Michigan State has
three football, the last in 1966.
Right.
I was at
which led to the rise of Bo in Ann Arbor.
And two basketball, 79 and 2000. They're the closest. They're kind of the only other ones in this list. Do you want to talk about
that? But, I mean, the other two basketball for Florida was Billy Donovan.
Well, pretty recent.
Which is not too far back.
I mean, they're the last team to go back-to-back before UConn did it.
I mean, there's really not.
It's pretty good.
USC, more football than hoops.
Football than hoops. Like,
USC's probably never won a hoop. Oklahoma,
they've had some decent hoops teams, but, you know, more football.
And women as well. Let's not forget Stacey Dales' his banner or jersey is in the rafters.
No doubt.
I mean, Tennessee had the success for women.
For sure.
Yeah. Not as much men. And then, you know, football. When was the last time they won a national championship?
When T. Martin was in the building.
North Carolina not doing it football wise.
Not yet.
Arizona.
Not yet. Maybe we'll see.
They got their new beach bum.
Wow. Yeah.
Is there HC?
Bill can do.
Called him a beach bum. He's back. Listen.
Bill's an Instagram boyfriend.
It's true.
He's an IGBF. Beach squared is an IGBF.
Well, guys, he's out there putting in work. He's doing leg lifts on the beach. See, you guys think he's posing with
leg day. That's right. You're not wrong.
He's getting the leg in. I mean, come on. Guys,
you keep on looking for more names. You don't want to admit.
Syracuse is one of each, but not football since '59.
Yeah, there's no other. There really isn't any school that has that balance.
Obviously, the pushback from the Scarlet and Gray friends with Columbus would be, you know, because football has been so successful.
Yeah, but they don't have a long time.
The Jim Jackson Show is hosted on the Rich Eisen Podcast Network.
Yeah, for sure. That's our guy. Yeah,
there have been 10 schools to do it.
What?
To win both.
To win one of each.
Football, one of each, yeah.
Well, I mean, my school is that.
Yeah, Maryland, Cal, Florida, now.
When was the last time Maryland won a football championship?
90-something, 91.
What? Maryland won the national championship in football?
Maryland won the national championship in football.
Whoa.
Post Boomer Esiason being there?
Let's see.
Come on.
They're on the list.
All right.
Turtles are old.
Thank you. Great contribution to the conversation from Mike Del Tufo.
I love turtles.
All right. Let's listen.
1953, Maryland.
Turtles are old.
They have won it.
I think you got to. Let's talk about, like, I can't even say this century because that takes Michigan out of the mix. 1989 was their national championship in basketball.
Stanford, Arkansas has won both.
Okay.
Again, it's Florida's world, man.
Florida's first one with three in football, three world. In basketball. Congratulations to them.
You probably are, Mike.
And and to Coach Golden Mazel Tov, which I can say. Okay. Yeah, with the national semifinal being Golden versus Pearl, we knew there would be a member of the tribe trying to cut down the nets last night. I can say these things here on the Rich Eisen Show. For instance, I don't believe Tarheeb still can say these things. He's in hour number two of this program. Marilyn Ricegub, who I've been a fan of for quite some time, she'll be in studio in hour number three. We'll talk. We got a great celebrity, True or False, with her 24 and the Larry Sanders Show. And she's in a new show on Netflix called North of North, which means you could see it right here on Roku. That was our TurboTax tournament review presented by TurboTax. It's officially tax season. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax full service expert as soon as today. They do your taxes. You enjoy the tournament. Now, this is taxes. Coming up, Jay Billis will continue our tradition unlike any other. It is Masters Week. Jay has year after year after year been kind enough to zoom in the day after the national championship game for the men, and he will continue that when we come back.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I represented a costume manufacturer against Barney the Purple Dinosaur. They sold this thing called Hillary the Hippo, which looked exactly like Barney. And it was just being rented for people to do, parties for their kids and all that. So we wanted to settle the case right away, but they wouldn't settle it because they wanted to make an example out of it.
Oh, no.
So we went to federal court and won.
No kidding.
Yeah, we won. And we wound up, then it went to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. I had to argue about Barney the Purple Dinosaur one step away from the United States Supreme Court. The funniest part, and because the case is over, I can say this now.
Yes.
I had the costume, the evidence of the trial, I had the costume at home for some reason.
Yes.
And my wife and her friends used it to have a birthday party for some of our kids. For some of the kids in the neighborhood. And they had all, this is back before cell phone pictures and all that.
Sure.
So they had pictures of all this. And I'm like, what are you doing? Do you realize this could end the trial right here? If the other side got a hold of this? I subpoenaed Barney to the trial.
It gets better.
I subpoenaed Barney to the trial. The other side said, Your Honor, we can't do that. There are only three of these costumes in existence. It's on the road doing this, the hardship of bringing it in. And the costume is 6'8" tall, weighs like 250 pounds or whatever. And I stood up and I said, Your Honor, I'm 6'8" and I weigh about 240. I got in here just fine. And so the judge ordered the costume, and they brought it. They brought it, opened up this big truck, and they wouldn't let anybody see it unless somebody was in it. Barney pops out of the back of a truck onto the loading dock. The judge came down, all the court reporter, and every employee of the federal building was there to see it.
This is a celebrity, right?
It was the dumbest thing you'd ever seen in your life.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Jay Billis about to join us from Dallas, I believe, is where he is. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire archive. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or simply just stop by. It is a tradition. Unlike any other. Well, I mean, that's what I like to say. He joins us every single year on the day after the national championship game and the college basketball season is over. He's making his way to Sacramento because he's calling the Kings and the Nuggets on ESPN Wednesday night. Joining us, I think, from the Terminal C Cinnabon in Dallas, Fort Worth, on his way back from San Antonio. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Billis back on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jay? Thanks for joining us.
Good to see you, Rich.
Good to see you.
Great to see you always.
So, you know, this is a tradition unlike any other. You're kind enough to join us the very day after Nets get cut. Let's just jump right into it. And just the macro question as to why you think Florida cut down the Nets in this tournament.
I do think they were the best team. From probably the middle of the season on, Florida had a different look to them as a team with their size up front and depth. And then great guards, and they've got Walter Clayton Jr., who can score. He's an on-demand scorer. He can make challenge shots, and when things break down, he can just take over. And he had a Kemba Walker-like tournament. He might not have had his best game in the final, but when he was held scoreless in the first half, but came back in the second half, had 11. He had 7 assists in the game and made some of the bigger defensive plays, especially the last one. But, you know, Florida played in the toughest league in the SEC, and I thought they emerged as the best team. But Houston and Duke were formidable, but Florida pushed everybody back. And even when they had their backs against the wall in a number of games, they executed down the stretch, mostly because of Clayton. I mean, they beat Auburn in the semis just because they had Walter Clayton Jr. and nobody else did. But I think it was more of a total team effort in the game against Houston. And that was the first time, Rich, Houston, when they hold their opponents under 70, they are 30-0. And this is the first time all year that an opponent had scored under 70 points and won. And Florida was that opponent. They did it with defense. They were, in the second half, they were really fantastic defensively. And that was the way they did it against Auburn, too.
Yeah, and then obviously the defense on the final possession of the game. You've seen a ton of basketball, Jay. Have you ever seen a game of this magnitude end like that, where ball guy goes in the air, gives himself up, and knows if I touch this basketball, there's a violation and we lose the game? And I've never seen anything like that in my life.
I've certainly seen the play before where that happens, but I've never seen it on a final play where where the shooter, after they, you know, sort of drop the ball because they know if they come down with it, they're going to get called for travel. And, you know, Emmanuel Sharpe knew he couldn't pick it up. You know, in retrospect, he probably would have been better off just picking it up.
Yeah.
The clock stops, and maybe they can get a 5-second call or a steal or something. But, yeah, it was really unusual. And I know for Kelvin Sampson, it was probably the last 4 possessions, not getting a shot. You know, when you don't get a shot up and you turn it over, certainly, you don't get a chance for an offensive rebound. You don't get a chance to get fouled. And I think the disappointing thing is they were only down 2 points, and both teams were in the double bonus. I thought they were going to try to drive it and get into the paint. And then if you draw help in a rotation, you can kick it out for an open 3. But you have to give credit to Florida. I mean, Houston started that out on the right side of the floor, and you know, Florida switched out. Thomas Hauck did a great job on a switch and stopping the ball. And they limited L.J. Crier. They wouldn't let him get it back on a little screen, re-screen action where he's coming back to the ball. And they wound up getting it to Emmanuel Sharpe in their third option of that play. And it was just a great closeout by Walter Clayton Jr.
Yeah.
What you would hope in that was that Sharpe would have shot faked and then drive, because, you know, you shot fake in that situation, the defense is more than likely going to go for it. But he went up for the shot, and Clayton took it away from him. It was just really good defense.
Yeah, they were terrific. The defense, as you point out, Jay Billis, and it's amazing how last year they're one and done, giving up triple digits to Colorado and getting bounced. And now here they were, the only team to win 6 games in this tournament. And the defense, I mean, you got to give Coach Golden some credit here for remaking, right?
That's really a good point, because last year when they lost to Colorado, you know, they were probably ranked in the 90s nationally in defensive efficiency. But, you know, that's kind of the value of having players that you get to come back. You know, Florida didn't have a lot of 5-star recruits out of high school. A lot of these guys were under-recruited. You know, Walter Clayton Jr. was a football player, and he was heavily recruited as a free safety by Florida and by Alabama, by Georgia, other big-shot football programs. But he wanted to play basketball, so he went to Iona And he played for Rick Pitino for 2 years. And he was a MAC player of the year at Iona and then transferred to Florida to play for Todd Golden. But Elijah Martin played at Florida Atlantic. There were a bunch of guys that weren't, you know, sort of your top 50, top 30 recruits. And I think the same thing went for Houston. You know, Houston had maybe some higher valued high school recruits, but, you know, not your McDonald's All-American types. And that's why I thought, you know, before the tournament started that Houston was going to beat Duke, because Houston has, you know, they're older certainly in spots, but they played in close games all year long. They live in those games. And Duke didn't, you know, Duke had the highest margin of victory in the tournament and they don't play in any close games. And so how were they going to behave when the game was on the line? And it turned out that was a deciding factor. You know, if they had done a few things better, still could have arguably should have won, but you know, not being in that fire time and time again, because you look back on some of the great teams of the past, they were all challenged. And you know, Houston and Florida, they were challenged game in, game out in their leagues, and Duke wasn't. That's not an excuse, but it was pointed out before the game by a lot of us saying, "Hey, this could be a real factor," and it turned out that it was.
Oh, on the subject of Houston and Duke, Jay, I got to ask, was that a proper call of an over the back on Cooper Flagg that wound up giving free throws to Houston to take a lead?
Yeah, it was a foul. It was a foul. But what I would say, Rich, is in that game, it probably wasn't. You know, that was more of a hockey game. And so when that's sort of the thing with officiating, when you let something go for, you know, 39 minutes and then you call it there, like, and I have a little bit of a different take. I think the officials should be more vigilant in calling physical contact on cutters and on players with the ball. Physicality on rebounding, I'm okay with. I think that's where you let a little more go. Let them be physical when they're rebounding. But, you know, like, do I think the call was correct? Yes, I do, by the rule book. But I can show you a bunch of other plays in that game where there was way more contact on rebounds in an over-the-back situation. There was no call made. So you can kind of argue it both ways. But that's not that was one of the important plays in that game, but it wasn't the only one. There were a litany of plays you could go down toward the end of that game where Duke didn't handle it very well and Houston did. So Houston took it from them. I mean, I guess there's no great comeback without a corresponding collapse by the other team. But I really do think the sharpness of not having been in close games was a factor in Duke not being able to execute down the stretch when there was real game pressure on in a really big game.
What do you think the postmortem in John Shire's office is right now, Jay?
The postmortem, I think John's really smart. So I think they're going to look at it for what it is. You know, they didn't execute when they had to. And you look at, well, how do we do this better in the future? The problem is none of those players are going to be there next year. So one of the things that factored into that game was Houston lost to Duke last year in the Sweet 16 when Jamal Shedd got injured in the first half of that game, didn't play in the second half. They were lost by 2 points. I think it was 54-52, if I remember right. I thought Houston was a better team. But all those guys came back, and you know, they had some new players added, but they all came back. So they all had that sort of, what would you call it, institutional memory of that. And, you know, that's how a lot of great teams operate. They benefit from the times they've fallen short and they've been in the fire and they move forward in a positive way. You know, Duke doesn't have that luxury because their team changes just about every year. So, you know, you could argue, well, what's the better approach? Do you get, you know, quote unquote, lesser recruits and keep them for longer so that they can develop together? And it may be you're tougher and stronger and older, or do you go for the super talent? Because I think, you know, there are probably 358 teams that would have traded places with Duke. You know, they only lost four games on the season. So they were legit and certainly could have won that game. They just didn't. But, you know, only one team cuts the nets down. It was Florida. But I think John will handle it positively. It's a crushing blow, obviously, but he's a competitor, and true competitors know that they can go into a game and lose, and they handle it the right way. And he's one of those guys.
Before I let you go, let's talk about the two teams you're going to see on Wednesday night calling on ESPN. Kings coming off of a big win in Detroit with DeRozan and LaVine combining for 80, you know, and it looks like, you know, the best case scenario for the Kings is to be the 9 seed in the play-in scenario. And then you got the Nuggets with Jokic playing all world. And then we'll find out, I guess, where they're seated and who they play in a Western Conference that appears to be Oklahoma's cities to take. I'm wondering where you stand on the way the Western Conference is shaken out before you head off there.
The Western Conference is ridiculously good. And, you know, when you're looking at teams 3 through 8 that are basically separated by 1.5 games in the standings, these last few games that are played on the schedule are going to be really important for seeding in the playoffs. And, you know, for Sacramento, I mean, it's not just that win they had at Detroit, which was really impressive, but they also beat Cleveland right before that. They're playing at a really high level. And it's not just DeRozan and LaVine. I mean, Domantas Sabonis has been, for the last few years, one of the best players in the league. I mean, he's been a double-double machine. So there's a lot on the line for this one, for Sacramento to get into the play-in and make sure they solidify that. And for Denver to make sure they stay out of that. But, you know, Denver hasn't had Jamal Murray for like 5 games. And he's had that hamstring, which I think Michael Malone said, look, we're not being careful. He's hurt. Like, careful is when you can hold a guy out when you're in good shape and in the play. They have a sense of urgency here because it's not a good position for them to be in the play-in when they could easily be the 3 or the 4 seed if they had handled things a little bit better. But I think for Denver, you know, their defense is the biggest concern. You know, turnovers and defense, and that's going to be the concern when they play Sacramento.
And then everybody who doesn't make the playoffs puts their Cooper flag hope chest out. Is that basically what it is, Jay?
Pretty much. But yeah, there are a lot of good players in this draft, whether it's you know, Dylan Harper of Rutgers, Ace Bailey of Rutgers, VJ Edgecombe at Baylor. I don't know exactly where this draft ranks, but it smells a little bit like the draft we had in 2003. There's a lot in this draft beyond Cooper Flagg. He's just the ultimate prize, and I think he's going to be in the draft. People are saying, is he going to come back? And I'm like, he'll come back to collect his stuff, but he's not coming back.
Well, we saw he collected his golf clubs the other day. He's already at the range, just, I guess, working out his disappointment. And then I guess the last one for you is, who was the best pro prospect we saw last night on the court?
That's a good question. I would probably say Walter Clayton Jr. I think he's a first round draft pick, but Alex Condon is going to play in the NBA. I think Thomas Hauck will. And I think there's a good chance that Elijah Martin does as well. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Will Richard make a roster. Like, those guys are good guards, but Clayton's special. Even though he's small, he's special. Like, he makes incredibly difficult shots. And, you know, I think your whole body of work is what people should be relying on, you know, any scout or front office person. But his performance in the tournament certainly didn't hurt. It was just kind of a force multiplier to say, hey, I've been doing this all year long. But when you saw it with the lights on, that was confirmation.
Yeah, man. And then not just the lights on, like when the clock's ticking down. Right. I mean, yeah. And listen, Richard was shooting threes to keep Florida in the game when they're turning it over and they're not getting any shots. Houston was smothering him last night in the first half. And Richard was doing what needed to be done because Clayton Jr. Had no points. That said, I thought that you could make a case that was his most impressive game with Clayton Jr. scoring 11 with 7 assists when he could have gone in the tank. He could have circled the drain last night. And he didn't, and he was needed.
Yeah, I think that's right, Rich. Like, he's got a clutch gene in him that most players just don't have. And when he's being smothered, you know, he's got an extra gear to get through. Like, he can split traps and great in transition, all that stuff. But his ability to make challenge shots and be a creative finisher around the basket, you don't see guys like him very often. And the thing that has really impressed me was how much his defense has improved from last year to this year. I wouldn't have called him a defender last year, but this year he guards. And it just shows, like, his ceiling is higher. So I don't doubt he's going to play in the NBA for a long time if he stays healthy.
Jay, you're the best, man. Thanks for keeping this tradition alive. It means a lot that you take the time. And, you know, we got 2 L.A. teams in the NBA playoffs. So if you come through here, please let me know. Love to see you.
I would love to do that. And with a Duke guy coaching the Lakers, there might be a shot I can get a ticket. I don't know if you'd answer the call, though.
Were you okay with the – I don't know if you – did you watch The White Lotus, Jay? Did you see it? Did you watch
it? I saw some of it. My wife is addicted to it, but I haven't seen – I was a little busy, so I haven't seen much of it.
No,
but you know, during replay reviews in the NCAA tournament, they take so long, I could have knocked out a couple of episodes while they were looking at whether the ball touched somebody's shorts.
You could have binged it. Well, there was a character in it who there's a family from Duke that all went to Duke, and a guy whose life was crumbling because of his choices wearing Duke stuff the entire time. And apparently Duke didn't like it, you know.
So I have seen the meme of that with the gun to the head. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I get it. But I think Duke's doing the right thing in protecting their trademark. I would have rather had somebody else wearing that shirt.
Well, listen, Jay, they messed with the wrong guy. You once put Barney on the stand, as we've seen here on the stage. They're messing with the wrong person. Jay, thanks for the time, man. Travel safe, and I hope to see you soon. Right back at you.
Thank you.
The great Jay Billis from ESPN. Everybody check him out at the mic on Wednesday night in Sacramento against the Nuggets right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Great chatting with him. What do you like the review process in college basketball? Would you want that in the pros? Where, you know, a couple minutes to go, they're stopping everything, they're reviewing everything. Is it off on that person? Is that off on that guy? That they're reviewing out-of-bounds plays and stuff like that. Would you want that in the NBA?
The end of games are already way too long in the NBA. Why do we want to make them longer? The last 5 minutes takes an hour.
It does.
Because you want to get them right.
I mean, that is the
But to disrupt the flow of the game like that?
I am.
It's a free timeout.
It does take a little while.
I'm pushing back on this just for devil's advocacy.
Sure. Here.
You know, I feel there should be in the NBA more challenges given to coaches. If you get them right, you continue to refresh them. You know.
Yeah, you get to
right and so.
So it's I think one plus
too,
one.
They're
right?
too stingy on the challenges right now, in the NBA, but. The college basketball way of saying, hey, in the last couple minutes, we are reviewing all out-of-bounds plays. Because you're not reviewing stuff like in the cylinder, are you, in college basketball? You're definitely not reviewing whether it's an offensive foul or a defensive foul.
Right. Then
the stuff that you can challenge in the NBA, I'm saying, is not what they're stopping the game to check out in college basketball. Correct?
No, but then the Cooper Flag play should have been challengeable.
I mean, at one point, weren't they going, somebody was going like this, right? And it was like with 5 minutes to go. I think Kelvin Sampson was going like this, like, let's review that. And
I think we've got a little bit review happy in all of sports. That was some of the beauty of back in the day.
I knew you want to get it right, but why not try to get it right five minutes into the game? I mean, that possession could mean something.
It was a
one possession game to end the game.
Yeah.
So we're not stopping to see if it was an out of bounds on somebody in the first half, even though if they had gotten that call wrong and then potentially reversed it to get it right and it led to points being scored instead, then it wouldn't have been a one possession game, it would have been a tie game. I mean, we could continue to do this all day.
Yeah.
Which is why you don't do it.
Exactly.
All day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So why are you doing it with 2 minutes to go? Because there you really don't want to get it wrong?
I mean, because it means more.
I think what you do is you give more challenges to coaches. And if they get it right, you keep going. And in the NFL, like, they're stopping the game enough to save challenges for coaches that when somebody throws a challenge in the NFL from a head coaching position, you know it's got – you better be right. Like, those challenges are less valuable now in the coach's hands because, you know, replay assist keeps chiming in to save the trouble of stopping the game. So – let's stop the game so guys can come over and see whether the ball was off of somebody. I think you should just give coaches more challenges, and if you get them right, maybe you get it 2+1, just like the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because in the NBA, it's important whether somebody picks up a second foul in the second quarter, third foul in the second quarter. You could use the challenge there.
Why does the basketball just do the sky judge situation like the NFL's going to?
I mean, I love it. I think it's great.
Because the NFL is such a fast game. Like, the NBA is not faster. You should be able to just have somebody rack it back.
There's all the cameras. You got the control center.
But the play starts, the next play starts right away in the NBA. It's not like a 35, 40-second breather between plays in the NBA.
That's true.
Yeah.
That would be a quick buzz to an official, and they might not, they may not be the one inbounding.
You have to stop
the
game. You have to stop a basketball game. Two plus one. Let's try that, NBA. Let's get it going. Or three plus one. Screw it. Get it right.
Hey, I still say my idea about penalizing the teams. Take a guy off the court.
Nice.
Oh, hockey.
Just like hockey.
Just like hockey.
Yeah. All right.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We know just how fast your life moves. You have bills to pay, mouths to feed, and not a lot of free time. That's why we created an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on. It can save you time and money with new lightning-fast direct deposit setup, and it offers checking accounts with ATM refunds and no service fees. Plus, whether you have credit or not, you can build your credit score with the new ability to report on-time bill payments. And with personalized financial insights on My Making Sense, the ability to view all your accounts in one place, custom notifications, and 24/7 fraud protection, you can get a full picture of your finances. So if you want an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on, sign up today. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there, and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it, and you could check in with this app, and other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it. And in theory, basically, it would keep you, you know, people knowing what's happening to you.
Just to get the whole story before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
You did a subscription per month.
People are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap. $12 a year.
Okay, so here's a scenario.
Yep.
Like, you're in your apartment. You die. Don't you think the neighbors are going to smell your rotting corpse?
Oh, no. There was actually a person in Santa Monica that sat for 8 days, two buildings down from me, before people knew that person was dead.
That's the worst idea. Not only does this have zero merit, I mean, the chance that people actually want to contemplate their mortality and pay 99 cents a month doing it is crazy. Think about it. If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a
but
month for that.
In theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check
when you're
in?
You're dead. Like, who cares?
But just in case.
No, I won't care. There'll be a new guy.
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not dead.
The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to them on the phone. You don't have to call them. And if it's a kid, you know the kid.
If you think you're, if you're worried your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say.
Call your mother, Mike.
But let's just assume that you're not going to call. People don't call their mother and father and live 2,500 miles away
every
day.
Mom, I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother
died.
Yeah,
you can check in. You know that they've actually... Exactly.
Thank you, Mike.
So she logs on and says, I'm dying.
Oh, like, man.
Like, you know, Mike, horrifically bad. Really bad. Really bad.
I tried.
You did try, Mike.
It exists.
And you didn't want to do it.
No, I sucked. I left, like, no preparation for that. It's terrible.
Well, I mean...
That was no prep.
What do you prepare for other than taking the day off to do something for Fox?
I'm really good at that.
Wow.
No, I'm actually...
You had been thinking about this
Doesn't
for
matter.
Years.
I'm thinking and
so
prepping.
You should have been prepared.
No, thinking and prepping are way... I would have called my friend who's a producer. I would have had him work with me. Yeah, I had no prep.
When I was home alone with all my friends.
That's true.
I started off.
You were spinning your wheels from the start.
But it exists. It's Find My Friends.
You were spinning your wheels.
It's on the iPhone. Find My Friends.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give Mike a little bit of leeway, right?
He was.
Because
zero.
It's Mr. Wonderful there, man. It's a little pressure, right?
Yeah, very much so.
I've seen him shatter dreams of people who, like, I would have invested in their business.
Correct. I agree. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from the truck drifting towards your lane or the lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you, because guess what? Every Hyundai offers available class-exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 130 IIHS top safety awards since 2006, because Hyundai's always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. IIHS Top Safety Awards include Top Safety Pick and Top Safety Pick Plus awards to Hyundai vehicles from 06 to 25. All righty. Bears are going through an offseason workout program today.
Bears.
Yeah. They're starting. Jets are starting. Who else is starting?
Patriots
are starting because you got a new coach.
New
coaches get a week in advance.
I saw Stephon Diggs working out. Harold Landry met the media today.
Well, that means the Cowboys better be starting.
Hey, videos. Woo!
Did he make a pass yet?
Well, the Cowboys should be starting too.
That's what I'm saying. New coach? But guess what, Rich? We're going to wait till the last minute to get started.
Nah.
Delicious. Seriously.
No, that's definitely
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it.
That's definitely happening.
Why do I have a release of fandom for Corey in Iowa in here?
Oh, that was someone who called and said that they wanted to be released from their Cowboy fandom.
Well,
they're out.
So. We're out. I don't know how we get Corey and Iowa to sign this. What happens to yours? Oh, we still have the bandwagon transfer for Del Tufo.
Yeah, that's an illegal document.
Still haven't signed that.
It's an illegal document. It's O'Shea, my representative, has already said it.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. says
that.
Dodgers have lost 3 or 4.
Doesn't matter. We're fine.
They got the mush cheering for them. That's
long season. Third place. Your third place Dodgers.
Doesn't matter. Long season.
Will they be in third place at any point again the rest of the year?
Great question.
Probably not.
But how about, I mean, the Giants and the Padres are crushing it, too.
Crushing it, yeah.
NL West is great.
NL West.
See what happens. Mike Del Tufo moves into the neighborhood, and it becomes high rent. That's what happens.
High rent district.
26 wins among the top three teams.
It wouldn't be like you to steal the fan certificate removal from my drawer.
I didn't touch it.
DJ wouldn't take that.
Tarif Still is coming up in studio from the Chargers.
I have my own over here. I have a copy, I didn't take yours.
Hold on a minute.
Maybe somebody rightfully burned it.
It's got to be there, Rich.
It is not.
The Mets have won 5 in a row.
I have too much garbage in here.
No, nobody touched it for sure, because like I said, I have a copy.
No, at any rate, I got to look it up. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, see, I was just going to say, it's got to be there.
Still unsigned.
Yeah, probably going to stay that
just
way.
Like Micah Parsons. Still unsigned.
That's messed up.
Monica
cut away from that, bro.
That's just a fact.
It's the truth. He's not lying.
There is less pat.
Who signs first, Micah or Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Hey, I've got a hot take for you guys.
I think it's a hot take. What is it?
It's not even a hot take. I believe this is going to happen.
Just a take.
Jerry Jones is going to win an Emmy before he wins another Super Bowl. And that's just a fact. Like, that's factual. It's...
Landman cameo?
Some people don't get Emmys or nominations.
That's true. You're right about that.
But Jerry Jones probably will, and he's going to win one before another Super Bowl.
Actually, he's going to win it for this Hallmark movie. there is less pot. You can't be selectively aggressive forever. That's the log line.
That is the next trophy there he's getting.
There is less pot.
And it won't be named after Vince.
The squirrel.
Yeah.
The squirrel.
Is that the squirrel? Is that pie? Is that squirrel pie?
Yeah, it's squirrel pie.
I don't want that. Am I wrong, Brockman?
It's the truth.
I think you've seen the last of your Super Bowls in your lifetime.
That's a don't. You can't say that.
Yeah, come on.
My lifetime or his? Because hopefully I got a long.
You absolutely cannot. You cannot say that.
There, Rich. There are there are several teams for which I can confidently say we will never see them win a Super Bowl.
Oh. That's a great discussion.
You know,
that's a great discussion.
This popped into my feed, and I here it is. This Cowboy fan,
that's whack. I can say
has
that about
every NFC Championship appearance since '96 tattooed on his arm. There it is.
First of all, that's whack. Secondly, there are 17 NFL teams that
FYI,
would
his,
fit into that.
His arm is clean. Arm is clean.
TJ, that club closed like the Century Club did.
Listen. Like the Century Club.
At least I've enjoyed
it. I can't believe people spend their time creating these videos and memes and popping them online.
I mean, the Dallas ones are amazing.
That's a reused video.
People just put different,
I know. I get it.
This one made me laugh.
Jabroni put Dallas in there. It should say the Jets.
Have you seen that before? No, the Jets.
It's funny,
the Jets have had AFC championship appearances.
I don't care about a championship game. I care about a Super Bowl. Nobody cares about the championship game and not winning.
Okay.
Win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Dang it.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneaker peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got a ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.